On episode 32 of the new 8 Days of Geek podcast, new gear from Apple and Microsoft, Hulu adds more networks, and Facebook, that's racist. Stay tuned. And thank you for listening to another episode of the new 8 Days of Geek podcast. I'm your host, Jesse Miller, and joining me, as always, the man with a big floppy mic stand, Sean Scott.
Nice. Didn't take you long to come up with that one.
No. You did most of the work for me. We had a good conversation about your big floppy mic stand. And that I've had floppy mic stands in the past, and it's something that eventually happens to every man and woman. Anyway, so go ahead and talk about some blurps. I got a couple interesting ones here. This first one is super interesting. I watched this video. It's really awesome. Have you watched Westworld, Sean?
Yes.
Okay. So Anthony Hopkins, Sir Anthony Hopkins, I believe, is kind of the main character of Westworld. One of the main characters. You know, he's the creator, one of the creators of Westworld itself, and he's like a puzzle wrapped in enigma, stored inside of a riddle. It's weird, but it's because Sir Anthony Hopkins is such an amazing actor. He said several times that he reads scripts hundreds of times until the words are just ingrained in his head, and then he can bring the character to life and he can think about the nuances and things of that sort. The article is from IO9, but the video is from Nerdwriter. Nerdwriter dissects one of my favorite scenes in one of the most recent Westworld episodes and talks about how Anthony Hopkins delivers the lines and the little pauses that he puts in there and why he puts them in there and the words he speeds up and the words he slows down. And it is truly a really good character study on what an amazing actor can bring to your film. If you're a film student, if you're currently in the industry, or if you're just, a YouTuber wanting to get started. If you're making short films, check this video out. It's fantastic. Even if you're an actor, this might help you. It is very interesting to see why actors choose to deliver lines the way they do. And some of the thought that goes into it is pretty amazing. So check out the video. I linked to the IO9 page in the show notes, and then they have the video embedded for Nerdwriter. It's pretty darn cool. You might actually
sounds pretty
it,
cool.
Sean. Yeah, and it helps that I freaking love Anthony Hopkins. The dude is amazing. So, and then the other little blurb that I have here, this one is near and dear to my heart. LastPass is a password manager I've been using, good grief, for years and years and years. I can't remember not using it, to be honest. I used it on the computer for a long time, and then when I really started letting it manage all of my passwords, I started paying for a subscription, which is $1 a month, billed yearly, so $12 a year. It's nothing, but it allows you to use it on all your devices, your tablets, your phones, your whatever. My watch does it. Now, LastPass has said, due to popular demand, that it is now going to allow you to do that for free on all your devices, your cell phone, your tablet, anything you want. You can get LastPass and use it for free. No more $12 a year subscription if that was, you know, too much for you. It does say that they will continue with the $12 subscription and you'll get little extra features that the free subscription does not have. But those features are very specialized. So I think a good 99% of the population who doesn't want to pay for a password manager yearly but wants one is going to be able to use LastPass free. It really doesn't give you the features that those people are going to need. What it does give you, if you continue to pay the $12 a year, you get family password sharing with up to 5 other users, which means I can share a password or passwords with my wife so she can have them just in case something were to happen to me and she needs to get into an account. No ads, so you'll have a completely ad-free experience. You get extra authentication options like YubiKey and Sesame 2FA. If you don't know what those are, you don't need them. priority tech support. LastPass for applications, which allows LastPass to actually fill in passwords inside of applications instead of just web pages. Desktop fingerprint identification. On phones, you can already do, and tablets, lock LastPass with a fingerprint. This allows you to do it on desktop computers as well. You'll also get 1 gigabyte of encrypted file storage. I don't know. I mean, that might be useful. I'm not sure. I don't really use it. Of all these things, the ad-free is nice. The family password sharing is okay. I don't really use it that much. I could easily go down to a free account. I consider $12 per year for everything that LastPass does for me more than equal. I am totally happy to continue paying even if I don't use any of those extra features. So if you've been in the market for a password manager, you've been afraid of all the password breaches and things like that have been happening lately, LastPass makes it super easy. By the way, this is not a paid endorsement of LastPass at all. I pay them as I said. So it is a fantastic password manager. You can use it to generate very, you know, convoluted and very, you know, disjointed passwords. A password that's been generated for you is always going to be stronger than a password that you generate out of your own mind because you associate things in your mind. So all I have to do is know you, and I already know some of the passwords you're going to use. So, you know, I know Sean likes baseball. So I can assume that most of his passwords probably have something to do with baseball. So, you know, it's stuff like that. However,
I will neither confirm nor deny that accusation.
Yeah. And see, if you use LastPass, it will generate a password randomly using a certain set of criteria. You know, it has to have a capital letter or a different symbol or, you know, this many characters, that kind of thing.
Oh, man, that drives me crazy.
Well,
when it's like you must use one or, you know, this many of these different things.
Exactly. And see, if you use LastPass, you don't have to. That doesn't matter because you just tell it, you know, LastPass, this is what the site wants. And then it spits out a password to you. You put the password in the field and LastPass says, hey, do you want to save this as the password for this website? You say yes. It fills it in from that day forward. You don't ever have to remember it. So, you know. It really does make your life more secure. Now, you do have to have a really good password on LastPass because if somebody gets into LastPass, they got everything.
That was going to be my argument here, was that really, because I then have to have a password for LastPass. I mean, all they're doing is like, you know, taking all of my passwords for all my different accounts and holding them for me in what's supposed to be an even more secure vault. But like, what if somebody hacks LastPass? Then they've got access to everything of mine.
If I remember it correctly.
Not just one account they may have been targeting.
If I remember it correctly, LastPass is actually the way that they encrypt all of their stuff. If they were to hack LastPass, they still wouldn't have everything they need to get all your passwords. Because it's all encrypted, and if I remember correctly, you're the one who has the key, not LastPass. So, you know, they can't give away your stuff. You know, they can't give it to law enforcement, really. They can't, if they get hacked, the hackers won't get anything but a ridiculously encrypted database and stuff like that. You would be more at risk of having your password to LastPass hacked than someone hacking LastPass like that. And in that, like I said, in that case, you do need a very secure password on your any password manager, not just LastPass, but any password manager. You need a super secure password. However, it's the only password you'll really have to remember, so you can make it super duper secure. You know, one of the things I always suggest is if you're going, the length of your password actually is usually more important than what it contains. Sure, if you can put different letter or different symbols and capitals and no capitals and everything like that in there, that certainly helps. But it also helps to have a very long password. So, you know, add a bunch of things together in an order that you can remember, and that password will be better than, you know, a short password with just one capital and one number. But if you've been looking to try out a password manager, try out with LastPass. Since it's free to all now, it's quite the deal. Okay, so
gaming.
This one I saw we didn't have hardly any gaming news. We didn't have any gaming news, and I stumbled across this story, and the GIF that's on the page is pretty awesome. The YouTube video, also pretty fantastic looking. Definitely go to the site that I've linked in the show notes, because it's pretty cool. Okay, so Battlefield. Obviously, the Battlefield series is visually stunning. Always comes up with new and exciting little ways to do things. It's one of my favorite shooter series, really. The designers, or former designers from the Battlefield series, they're looking to do a new game called Project White, and that's with a W-I-G-H-T, where players will control an intelligent monster whose kind has been driven to near extinction by humanity. So you get to play the monster as opposed to the humans. I mean, and that sounds like an amazing idea to me. I don't know. I mean, I know it's been done in games before, you know, like Aliens versus Predator and stuff like that. But
it sounds to me like you're still the underdog. You know, you're the alien, but you've been like the humanity just happens to be the bad guy in this one. I think it would be more interesting if you were like, you know, the aliens who were trying to take over Earth and you were just playing as the bad guy, you know?
Well, but see, and that's I think what they're trying to bring in here is the fact that who is the bad guy? Because everyone, every single tyrant thinks that they're righteous. You know? Every bad guy thinks he's doing the right thing. So that's when you begin to question, yeah, these humans are hunting these things to extinction. Why are they doing it? Is it because these things kill random people? You know, is there a reason for it? And do the humans obviously think they have a reason for it? So, yeah, I mean, you're playing the underdog.
That sounds a lot more, that sounds a lot more thought-provoking than I want my video games to be.
And see, it's exactly how I want my video games to be. And if you watch the video, the thing looks absolutely beautiful, made with the Unity engine. So I don't think, let's see here. Project White's intention to show different phases of the creature's life. Players can expect shift in how powerful or vulnerable they are at different stages of development. That sounds super interesting. It's still got a long way to go. There's no dates or even timelines or anything like that. So, you know, I'm holding out for this one. Definitely looks like a title I'd buy on PC, though, because it looks graphically amazing. I'm excited. I can't wait. think it's going to be awesome. All right. Let's see here. Next is, well, if the button would, oh, see, I muted, now I got to let it play through, otherwise it's going to sound weird. I muted it because I was playing that YouTube video while I was talking.
I have to tell you something, Trevor. It's time for TV news.
Our shit's just falling apart all over the place. Between me not understanding how the mute button works and you not understanding how a floppy mic stand works.
This is a clown college.
Yeah, this is just the shit show. A clown college. Speaking of, really?
I mean, yeah.
That's awesome.
Speaking of shit shows, the 2016 presidential election.
Boom.
Okay, so we're recording on Sunday morning, which means we are 2 days away from, you know, possible Armageddon. And
I like that.
Just in case you wanted to avoid all of this, and you know on Tuesday night you want to avoid election night coverage, the Weather Channel has your back. Okay. They have decided to run a 9-hour marathon of the most beautiful, awe-inspiring, and calming weather video and scenery ever caught on tape. So it's kind of like how Animal Planet shows the Puppy Bowl, you know, as opposed to the Super Bowl. So on election night, the Weather Channel is just going to air 9 straight hours of just calming, beautiful weather scenery. So we're not talking hurricanes or tornadoes or any of the other stuff you normally see on the Weather Channel. It's just going to be like flowers and rainbows and clouds and happiness. So
basically a hole for you to stick your head in.
Right, exactly. That's exactly what it is. And it looks like there's a few other places that are doing special election night things. Obviously Comedy Central is going to do a live Daily Show and a live At Midnight that evening. Stephen Colbert is apparently taking his comedy over to Showtime, I guess. I'd assume Showtime and CBS are owned by they must be owned by the same company, right? Because he's going to Showtime to do a one-off. I wouldn't call it a series. I don't even know, a special, I guess, called Stephen Colbert's Live Election Night Democracy Series Finale. Who's going to clean up this shit? So you can catch that on Showtime Tuesday night if you're not interested in election night coverage on
Showtime is the news. By CBS.
There you go.
Yeah.
And CBS and who are they? Who is their parent company?
CBS.
Yeah. CBS. Showtime. Is that Viacom?
Is National Amusements.
National Amusements. I don't even know what that is.
Who is owned by? Owners is Summer Redstone, Sherry Redstone. Subsidiaries of National Amusements include Viacom, CBS Corporation, okay. Showcase Cinemas, and more.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so they're a sister company to Viacom because they're under the same company side by side.
Right.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's your election night. What are you going to be watching on election night? Are you gonna watch some Weather Channel, or are you gonna tune in for the? Clusterfuck that is the American political system.
I don't know. I wonder if Twitter's doing anything. Sometimes I watch Twitter on my Apple TV because they have streaming
you
video.
You just watch Twitter?
Well, they have streaming video and some stuff, and then they put the Twitter feed underneath of it. I will keep up on the election because unlike people who want to stick their head in the sand, I want to see the apocalypse coming. But, you know, I know there's very few ways I'm going to get out of that evening with my wits intact. So, yeah, it's going to suck.
Well, provided we all survive the election and we're around in time for it to, begin, Hulu has started a live television streaming service. I don't know if we've talked about this in the past at all, but I guess this is going to be something. What's the company that's already out there? Sling TV. Have you ever tried Sling TV?
I have. It actually is very, very good. I enjoyed it.
So Hulu apparently has a live streaming service in the works that's going to, I guess, compete with Sling. And they just this week announced that they had signed a deal with both Disney and Fox. And that's pretty big when it comes to television networks. And that means that Hulu now has access to all the Disney-owned networks, which includes ABC as well as all of your ESPNs. And then the Disney Channel, of course, Disney, Disney XD, Disney Junior. And then their deal with Fox allows them access to all, of course, you know, Fox News, Fox Business, FX, FXX, and then apparently things like National Geographic and Nat Geo Wild, which I didn't know were owned by Fox, but regardless. And that comes on the heels of the deal they had signed with Turner to get all of the Turner cable networks like TNT, TBS, CNN, Cartoon Network, Adult Swim, True TV, Boomerang, Turner Classic Movies. So they have added quite a large listing of television networks to their streaming service. Is this something you would try? I know you're a cord cutter, and this sounds pretty interesting to me even. Live streaming services can add this many networks. Now I'm still going to need more than this. You know, I'm going to need something that can rival my cable network. Uh-huh. But if they can pull it together and rival my cable network, I mean, I'm absolutely all for it.
For cord cutters, I think this is a step in the right direction. It really is. It still makes it to where you're still looking at having multiple services for things. Like you said, they're going to need to consolidate and get more. But it, like I said, it's a step in the right direction. I have cable now that's choosing of the channel servers in my house that want to be able to just set the TV on a channel and let it play all day long, or sit there and surf through the guide for dinner or something along those lines. I'm an on-demand person. And I use, for instance, I don't watch Westworld on cable, and I don't DVR it. I watch it on HBO Go in my office.
Right.
So it's not even like I couldn't watch it on any of the TVs in a house through cable. I just choose to do it through HBO Go. It's my own way of standing up to the man.
Now, they don't talk about it in this article, but I did read another article where they discussed the pricing of this. And the pricing has not been announced by Hulu, but the hypothesis is that it would be around $40 a month for this service. And I believe they compared that to Sling TV's around $20 a month. So do you think the programming they have added and the networks that they've signed give it the ability to charge double what Sling charges?
I don't know. That's $40 is a lot. I mean,
see, and I think $40 – now, again, they need to add a lot more networks and stuff to appease me. But if I could get everything I want and all the networks that I want for, hell, $60 a month, $70 a month, I will be happy. You know what I mean? Like I still, you know, live under the cable company's thumb, and so my cable bill is ridiculous.
Redonkulous, huh? Uh-oh. My watch is ringing.
Way to go, Dick Tracy.
I know.
So speaking of new networks in the works, That doesn't even make sense, but we'll call it networks. Networks in the works.
The works
in the works. In addition to Hulu's live streaming service, I think we talked about this previously, that CBS has a new network, All Access, in the works as well. And it should debut, I believe, in early 2017. And at least that's when what we're going to talk about here, which is Star Trek, is set to debut. And that's why I think we discussed this previously, was they are bringing Star Trek back to television with a new series called Star Trek Discovery. And one of the things that people were very excited about was the showrunner is Brian Fuller, who was responsible for both Hannibal and Pushing Daisies. And they were looking forward to his work on Star Trek. And apparently CBS has been disappointed with the progress in getting this show developed and ready for its debut in 2017. So they have relieved Brian Fuller of his duties as showrunner of the new Star Trek series already. Now, from the way it's being reported, this doesn't sound like it's necessarily a bad thing or was done, you know, with any kind of malice intended, but he's been very busy with adapting Neil Gaiman's American Gods for Stars, as well as apparently he's working on Amazing Stories, the reboot of Amazing Stories. So they've kept him on as an executive producer of the new Star Trek, but he will no longer be the showrunner. And so the new showrunners will be – the new showrunner is being given to executive producers Gretchen Berg and Aaron Harbitz. So I guess his duties to two people. And they're saying that essentially they expect to see a lot of casting news and a lot of development in the near future on this. As far as everything else I've read, it's still in the works and is supposed to debut at the in this article here, May of 2017. So I guess they wanted to get the ball rolling on this. So big changes, but not necessarily bad news. Normally when you hear that a showrunner been replaced, it's not a good thing. But this doesn't necessarily be detrimental, we'll say, to the series.
Yeah, probably not. I mean, if he's still involved, you know, it's
right. My only issue here is that this is going to be on CBS All Access, which you know, obviously, is their new service, and I'm not going to subscribe to some new television service, you know. So if that's the only way I'm going to be able to get to see this new Star Trek series, then I won't be seeing it for a while. But you know, hey, what can you do?
You can't subscribe to everything.
Right.
Even though we try. All right.
And let's see. Finally, our last story, a little good news in the television world. The Simpsons is in the midst of season 28. Okay, they just had their 600th episode, I believe, was the premiere, but the Halloween episode this year. And Fox has given them the green light and renewed The Simpsons for two more seasons, 29 and 30. And if that's where it ends, let's just say it is, that means that the show will hit 669 episodes. And that will break the record for a scripted television series that was held previously by Gunsmoke, which aired 635 episodes. So it will become the longest running scripted television show in history, based on this renewal by Fox.
Wow.
Way to go, Simpsons. That's pretty cool.
I have never been able to watch The Simpsons.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I've tried several times and I just cannot enjoy it. It's weird because everyone loves it so much.
Even way back in the day?
all the time. Like, I've never liked that show.
Wow.
It's not that I hate it. I don't get any enjoyment out of watching it for some reason. It's weird.
Wow. You don't enjoy a show that has, in the past 26 years, won 32 Emmys, 34 Annies, a People's Choice Award, an Environmental Media Award, the first animated series Peabody Award, an Academy Award nomination in 2012, a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, and a box office hit with the 2007 theatrical The Simpsons Movie.
See, I haven't watched the movie. Didn't like it that much.
Spider Pig, come on, man. Yeah,
the movie was better than the show, I will say that. Like, I watched the whole movie and I did laugh at it, and it was funny, but I don't know, man. I don't know what the disconnect is, but I just have never cared for the show.
I mean, it's definitely not the same thing it used to be 25 years ago, but it is still, I still think it's a quality program. And it definitely used to be a fantastic program. So to have never enjoyed The Simpsons is just absurd to me.
It's un-American.
It is.
Yeah. Well, I'm weird like that. If it wins awards, you can pretty much assume I'm not going to like it.
And that's a ridiculous thing to say, too.
Well, people have brought that up to me before. That, you know, all these shows, they'll ask me about movies that I like. And they'll say, did you like this movie? And I'll say, I love that movie. You know, like Super Mario Brothers with Bob Hoskins and John Leguizamo and Dennis Hopper. I freaking love that movie.
That's terrible.
Exactly. People think it's the worst movie in the world, and I absolutely love that movie.
And that's,
I watch
fine.
It constantly.
I mean, it's fine to love, you know, terrible movies. That's mm-hmm. fine. But, I mean, to make a generalized statement like, I hate everything that's won awards.
No, I said like, that. There's usually a lot of, how it works
there's
out.
There's a lot of, you know, garbage out there that wins awards, you know, based on the mass populace liking garbage. But there's also a lot of good stuff that wins awards, too.
See,
you know, that's the reason that, like, I just quoted all those Emmys that The Simpsons won. Yeah. I'm sure American Idol also has lots of Emmys as well. And we can all agree that American Idol is garbage.
Yeah.
So you can't really go based off of, you know, oh, look, it has a gold statue. But it is one of the things you can use to determine.
Well, see, and that's what I'm saying. I don't base my opinions off of whether they have awards or not. It just turns out that when someone asks me, do you like, you know, if someone asks me, do you like the movie, Juno was one I was always poked at because it won all kinds of awards. I hated that movie. You know, I think what it is once at one point I said maybe it was because movies with too much drama throw me off, but that's not true either, because there are movies that have way more drama than any of those that I love. But it turns out that usually when someone says, well, did you like this movie? And I say, no, this movie that they're talking about has gotten like 100 awards for something. And I just so happen to be the one moron out there who doesn't like it for some reason. I don't know. But TV shows tend to be the same way. All the TV shows I like end up getting canceled. And the TV shows I don't really watch, Simpsons, end up getting, you know, 30 years worth of freaking content.
Well, and with TV, it's a lot more, you see a lot more of it, you know, where just stuff that appeases the masses stays on television for a long time. I mean, and there's no reason that Criminal Minds should be on television for like its 11th season now. I mean, it's just your standard detective, FBI investigative procedural. I mean, it's nothing that sets it apart that it should be on TV for that damn long.
Yeah,
but it appeases the man, you know, all the different NCIS's and CSIs and
like
whatever.
It's like the CSI insert ridiculous dumbass acronym here.
Sure. Sure, it appeases the masses, and so and the CW keeps every TV. And that, yeah, that's the thing. Like, if you're on the CW, well, you can just expect to stay on TV for 10 years, no matter what. they leave every show on television forever.
It's awesome. All right, well, if you got nothing else to add, we'll go ahead and we'll move on.
That's all I got for TV.
That's all he's got for TV. And see, I did it again. I muted myself. What the hell is going on with my mind today? Oh, no. That's not right. Something's broken.
Way to go.
I know. No, yep, it's not working there. For some reason. Oh, I think I know. Hold on. I got this. I'm stupid.
Tech news.
It doesn't help that if you're sitting at my computer while we're doing this show, I literally have like 8 audio interfaces that show up on my computer at any one time. And if I mute one of those, something doesn't work. But when I go to somewhere like freaking Mashable with their full page video ads, or Cinema Blend with their autoplay videos, I have to mute something. Otherwise, Sean's eardrums get blasted and his brain gets compacted into the size of a black hole. And then everyone on the other end of the podcast gets no enjoyment out of, their car radios blowing up instantaneously, causing them to swerve and hit a median and then back up traffic. Probably played.
What are you rambling on about?
All right. What I'm about to ramble on about is one of Sean's favorite topics in the whole wide world. He lives for this shit.
Oh, I didn't even look at this category. I didn't even realize that there was an Apple announcement. I'm just going to put my mic on mute for the next 45 minutes.
Oh, Sean, you love Apple. You know you do.
Oh, God.
We're going to roll through it pretty quick because there are some interesting things.
You always say that, but it never happens.
Well, I'm going to try this time. Because there are some interesting things that need to be touched on, but most of it is more of the same.
Never is.
Actually, there are some new things. There
wrong.
Are new
things. Liar.
New things. All right. So new MacBook Pros, basically. This was a MacBook Pro announcement. They're all metal now. The hinges used to be plastic. They are no longer plastic. They're metal through and through. Much, much thinner. Duh, because it's Apple. Everything's always the thinnest and lightest thing we've ever made. So thinner, lighter, metal all around. This is the kicker. On the upper versions of the new MacBook Pros, they have an OLED touch strip. That's a OLED display that's touch sensitive up at the top. It takes the place of the function keys, the F1 through F12, and it changes per the application that you're in. If you're running like a Final Cut video editing application, it might have the timeline up at the top where you can scrub through the video back and forth using your finger. Kind of cool. For people who use the function keys, yes, they still allow you to use the function keys. They show up there. You just have to press a button on the keyboard, and then the OLED strip turns into the F1 through F12. It also has Touch ID built into it, into the OLED strip, so that way you can now unlock your Mac with your fingerprint. So that's kind of cool. I would like to have that, but I'm not upgrading to this for a different reason.
None of that was cool.
Oh, yeah, it was. It comes in silver and space gray. Space gray is a little bit darker than silver, in case you thought silver was too gaudy, which if you have a Mac and that giant shiny Apple on the back of it, let's face it, unless you're covering that thing up, you want people to know. It's giant and gaudy is kind of what you're into. I'm a Mac owner. I can say that. It's like a fat guy making fun of fat guys. The Force touchpad that's on the new MacBook Pros is also much larger It's twice the size as the original 15-inch model on the new 15-inch. And it's 46% larger on the new 13 as opposed to the old 13-inch. It does have the dreaded crappy butterfly mechanism keyboard. So it's almost no key travel at all when you're typing. This is just bad. This keyboard is gross. It will make that keyboard makes me not want to buy a Mac computer, to be completely honest. A Mac laptop, because it's not in the regular desktop keyboard that they sell. It's basically a plate to make things thinner, but it is a bad keyboard. So new display is 67% brighter, has 67% better contrast ratio, 25% more colors, and consumes 30% less energy. Are you getting excited yet, Sean?
Nope.
The new 15-inch MacBook Pro has a quad-core 6th generation, not the newest, Intel Core i7 chip. And let's see here. It's got the basic memory options, but it is capped at 16 gigabytes of, I believe, DDR3 memory. It doesn't say on this list, but I believe it's DDR3. It has an ATI Radeon Pro graphics card with up to 4 gigabytes of RAM, and you can get a 2 terabyte SSD that is up to 50% faster. And the 15-inch model comes with 16 gigs. Apple claims the 15-inch speakers are louder and have twice as much dynamic range. Good luck figuring that out. Let's see here. The 13-inch model has either 6th-gen Core i5 or i7 processors and Intel Iris Pro graphics. That's built-in Intel graphics. And it only has 8 gigabytes of RAM. Both machines have Thunderbolt 3 USB Type-C ports. They only have 4 of them. And that's all they have. They have a headphone jack, but that's it.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Hey. A headphone jack.
You know, but the thing is, I'm
glad it has that antiquated technology from the 1960s that everybody's so furious over being removed.
Yeah. I'll hit on a couple more points and then I'm gonna come back to this one. I should have probably put that one last. Battery life said to be up to 10 hours. It's supposed to last slightly longer than older models because that's the way they do it. In addition to the versions with that OLED touch bar, Apple's also introducing a 13-inch model without the touch bar. It's supposed to take the place of the original MacBook Air. It's the same dimensions as the one with the touch bar. And it has 2 Thunderbolt 3 USB-C ports instead of the higher models, which have 4. And it also has a lower spec Core i5 processor. The entry-level MacBook Pro starts at $1,499. The 13-inch model with the touch bar starts at $1,799. Apple is keeping the $1,299 MacBook, just a regular MacBook. And the new 15-inch MacBook Pro, which has the touch bar, starts at $2,399.
Okay.
Crazy. It starts at $2,399. You can get, if I remember correctly, you can get that thing up to, I want to say you can get it up to $5,000. Shall we build one, Sean?
No, we shan't.
Oh, come on. You know you want to build one. Let me see if it'll let me. I believe it will. We'll go 15-inch, because why not? And we'll do the highest processor, touch bar with space gray.
Do you prefer 15 inches, Jesse?
I do. But it's all about the girth and not the length. See here. So it starts at $2,799.
You're such a size queen.
I know. Let's get it faster. So we'll go with the 2.9 gigahertz quad core.
So you want it girthier and faster?
I do. I need it all, Sean. Capacity is going to go 2 terabyte PCIe-based SSD. Graphics, I'm going with the 4 gigabyte Radeon Pro 460. And we're not going to do any extra software. Okay, $4,299 if you spec it out completely.
That's absurd.
That's pretty expensive. That is pretty damn expensive. Okay, back to the fact of the Thunderbolt 3 ports, though. You have four Thunderbolt 3 port USB-C ports, and then a headphone jack. Any of the USB-C ports can be used for charging, and they can be used for any number of other things that plug into them. However, USB-C and Thunderbolt 3 are not standards at this point, and even the iPhone 7 does not have a Thunderbolt port. The cable is lightning to USB, which means that you have to have a, you can't actually plug in your new iPhone into this new Mac. you have to have a dongle. You have to have a dongle for everything. Everything you want, you have to have a dongle for the thumb drive that you've had for God knows how many years. If it's
That's
not
because Apple is shit.
If it's not USB-C, you have to have a dongle. And I inserted a video here that I want to. It's in Spanish, and the original video has nothing to do with Apple, but I think it's pretty damn funny. So let me do this and this. I gotta switch my playback devices around, because if I want to play videos through here, this has got to be different. All right, so I'm gonna read the subtitles, but I have to play the audio because this guy's laugh is hilarious. I'll just do a little bit of it here. You ready? This is good stuff.
Sure.
Okay. I was working in Apple's laptop division, and Tim Cook came in. And he was pissed. He said, "You guys need to step it up. iPhone division is generating way more income than laptops. The engineers threw out all kinds of different ideas. More memory, faster processors. Until some smart ass said, remove the ports and sell them as dongles." Dongles. Dongles. And Tim loved the idea. Dongles. So all the people who want a MacBook and connect HDMI or USB devices or DisplayPort or use SD cards or MagSafe chargers, they have to buy a dongle for each one. They'll have to carry around a bag full of dongles. Good thing the laptop is not as big. People who need extra room for all of the dongles. Dongles, they're all at least $25. Some are $80. You can't even connect a new iPhone to this until you buy a dongle. We had to train the store employees to sell a bag of dongles with every laptop. One guy asked how to connect to his Thunderbolt display. So I told him, "You'll need this dongle. It's $75. Get used to it, fanboy." You like the headphone port? That's going away next. Dongles. Maybe. Maybe we should get rid of the keyboard and sell a dongle for that. We have more factories making dongles than iPhones now. Tim Cook has lost his mind. Dongle crazy. Okay.
And who is that guy?
Well, the original video that this was from is from a, let's see here. It's Los His name is like Rasitas, and I believe that translates loosely into little laugh because of the way he laughs.
Is he like a comedian or what?
No. I think it's just a guy. He was popular in Spain, and he's just I don't know what his claim to fame is over there, but he's just, as far as I can tell, just a guy from Spain who's on a talk show, but because of his laugh has become like super popular. I wish I could find them. It was Las Palieres, I think is how you say that. It's a TV show over there. And his name, like I said, is he's known as Rasitas. So the original has nothing to do with Apple and anything like that. That was just a person who took that video and put subtitles on it. But it works really well. That is the gentleman who did that is Jason Skidmore on YouTube. I'll link to hit that video in the show notes, Jason. That was pretty amazing. You got to sell a bag of dongles. All right. Let's see here. Next on Apple's announcement. Let's see here. New Apple TV app. So it's an app that's on your Apple TV. And I didn't quite understand this one. I don't know if it just goes over my head and I just don't understand the general concept, or if I don't understand why the app exists in the first place. Basically, the app is free. It's on iOS and Apple TV. It works with Siri, and it makes it to where you can use voice commands to find shows and control playback on the shows. So you basically say a name of a show to Siri. She looks it up and finds out what network it's on through that app. And as long as you have signed in to that network on the TV app, she plays it. I didn't think it was really that hard, knowing that Westworld is on HBO. So I want to watch it on HBO Go. When I open up my Apple TV, I go to HBO Go and I watch Westworld. So maybe people just don't want to have that extra step. And they just want to say, Siri, play Westworld. And she just automatically opens the TV app and then plays Westworld. But I didn't think it was really that difficult. I kind of liked having my shows split up into different apps, you know?
Right. I think I can equate what they're doing here with my TiVo. Because I don't know if it was the most recent, like once a year, TiVo puts out like a really large service update, like when our Android gets a new, OS update or whatever. And TiVo does the same thing. And either the most recent one or the one before that, they changed the what they call the season pass on TiVo. It used to be, you would pick a program that you wanted and you would, choose the, you'd have to set up all the details, the network, you'd pick the, whether you wanted just new episodes or whether you wanted every episode of the show ever aired to be recorded or whatever. And you'd pick those details and whatnot, but you'd always record it from one specific channel, so if you wanted to record The Simpsons, you'd set it to record on your HD version of Fox. Well, they recently, in the last year or so, changed it to what they call a one pass instead of a season pass. And the one pass now, when you set, because TiVo has become one of these, aggregators of all these different apps. You can have your Hulu on your TiVo and your Netflix on your TiVo and all these different apps on your TiVo. And so when you set a one pass on your TiVo, it will record The Simpsons from not only Fox HD, live broadcast, but it will also record it from, whether it's on Netflix or Hulu or Crackle or, what any of the other streaming services. And I think that's kind of what they're going for here is that, if you can not only get new content from the place that airs the new content, but we can also pull in the, you know, syndicated content from this streaming service or from that streaming service. And the way I read this article, it's kind of like their way of putting themselves in between. And this is obviously, it sounds like something Apple would want to do, putting themselves in between the consumer and the creator. And inserting themselves in as the middleman, which is what Apple always does and screws everything up.
Ah, tell us how you really feel.
So I kind of get what they're doing, though, I think. I think I understand it because I've already seen it, you know, in action with my TiVo.
Okay. So they don't
want you accessing, you know, they want you staying on Apple.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like instead of going to Crackle or going to Netflix, they're like, oh, well, yeah, we can access that for you here.
Exactly.
You know, it's just like the password manager. Oh, you don't need to remember all those different passwords to all those places. Just come here to us and we'll take care of all of that for you.
They want to be the gateway.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I understand why people might want it, but I don't know. I don't think I need it. I might try it just to see, but I don't think Netflix is part of it. I don't know. I guess it depends on how much of my content Siri would be able to pull up. If Siri could pull up my content from all my streaming services and content from my Plex server, that would be just phenomenal. But I don't think she'll be able to get into the Plex app more than likely. So it's kind of useless to me. But, hey, it's a free app. I'll probably give it a try. We'll see what happens. That's actually really the only things Apple announced on their little keynote. New computers and a new app. Sean, Microsoft announced some things too. Do you want to hear about those?
Sure.
Of course you do, because it's Microsoft. So... new additions to the Surface lineup. One revamp, one new addition. So the Surface Book is going to be getting a little bit of a revamp with a little bit better graphics processor in it. I forget exactly which one they did put in there. And, of course, they don't tell you specifically on their website. Because, you know,
does that not sound like something that may be directly linked to the story we talked about a couple weeks back where Bill Belichick of the New England Patriots was all pissed off because his Surface tablets wouldn't display photographs quickly or well enough?
I don't know. I doubt it because he doesn't use a Surface Book. That's the one that actually has like the whole laptop thing happening.
Right, right. Yeah, no, they use the Surface tablets or whatever. I guess. I don't really know.
They use Surface tablets. I think they use older Surface tablets, but I'm not positive. So,
well, we talked about that as well, because I was saying that like it would seem absurd to me if you have a multi-billion dollar deal and you know, and they're not even providing your teams with like, you know, the most recent updated hardware. I mean, I would at least if I'd signed a deal like that, I would expect the Microsoft to, you know, if they release something, you know, this month, I would expect to have it before the mass populace.
Yeah. Well, so let's see here. The things for the Surface Book. Surface Book with performance base, making the most powerful laptop in its class even better. There's three new models featuring sixth generation Intel Core i7 processors. And when I say sixth generation and not the seventh, the problem is the seventh generation of these processors just released not too long ago. And you got to figure these things have been in development for, you know, a while. So they really can't, Apple and Microsoft can't put the brand new processor in there. That's just not a good idea. You got to let the bugs get ironed out of that thing. Pack more than twice the graphics processing power as the original Surface Book. 16 hours of battery life. Let's see here. It will come with some 3D CAD software, stuff like that. It's kind of cool looking, but it is basically just a hopped up version of the original. And as far as I can tell, the tablet part of it's not changed. I think it's just the base that they changed. They just put a better graphics processor and newer processor in the base of the Surface Book. Let's see here. Sir, one of the things that I think has probably prompted this is that the next version of Windows 10, the next update, is called the Creative Update. So they're focusing more on creativity. It'll come with free 3D graphics software, things like that. So it's more towards, it's kind of taken a slice of Apple's pie, because Apple has always been, you know, focused on the creative types, quote unquote.
Right.
So now Microsoft is like, hey, you can be creative on our platform too. Here, let us show you. And one of the things that they've announced was the Surface Studio. The Surface Studio is, let me bring up some photos here for me. It's basically like an all-in-one. So you've got a little base station and a monitor on hinges and a separate keyboard and mouse. But because the monitor's on a special hinge, it allows you to maneuver it all kinds of different places. It uses a Surface stylus, and it's a touchscreen. And you can take this thing all the way down to the desk, I believe down to close to 20 degrees. And it turns into basically like a drafting table for drawing and things of that sort. It looks super interesting, but I guess it depends. If you're going to be using it for creativity type stuff, I can see where this would be useful. It is a 28-inch display, and it's a Core i5 with 8 gigabytes of RAM starting. You get a Surface Pen with it. You can hop it up all the way to 2 terabyte storage, Core i7 with 32 gigs of RAM and 4 gigabyte of dedicated GPU. And that will run, let's see, the entry-level model runs you $3,000. The upgraded model runs you $4,199.
Jeez.
Yeah, and there is a middle ground in there for $3,500. That is a i7, 1 terabyte storage, 16 gigabytes of RAM, and 2 gigabytes for the GPU. It's, like I said, it looks like a very interesting idea for creatives and people who need a giant touchscreen with a really good stylus, because the stylus on the Surface Pros are actually really good. Let's see here. Processors are quad-core. The graphics that they're using are GeForce GTX 965M 2 gigabyte. Or the 980M 4 gigabyte. And then rapid hybrid drive options. You got a 64 gig SSD with a 1 terabyte hard drive, 128 gigabyte SSD with a 1 terabyte hard drive, or a 128 gigabyte SSD with a 2 terabyte hard drive. Kind of giving you the best of both worlds there. Let's see. The memory, the Wi-Fi, all that stuff pretty normal. Connections. Since we talked about Apple's connections, let's talk about Microsoft's connections. 4 USB 3.0s, standard. Full-size SD card reader that does SDXC. But, as far as I can tell, it's on the back, which is a little weird.
That is weird.
That is super weird. I'm not sure if I like that, but at least it's on there. So, you know, silver lining, I guess. Mini DisplayPort, so if you want to add a monitor. 3.5 millimeter headset jack for you, Sean.
Of course.
Has camera, dual microphones. I don't think there's anything else that's necessary. Let's see here. Surface Dial integration. This is something else they announced. The Surface Dial, I'm trying to find it on their actual press release, but this press release is so ridiculously convoluted. Making your way through it is actually really, really tough. It's basically kind of a peripheral that allows you to assign your own macros or whatever you want, assign its own task. And it's a dial. That's all it is. It turns. And I believe it will, let's see, here we go. Surface Dial. Integrates with Windows 10 to work with Surface for faster and more intuitive way to scroll, zoom, and navigate. When you place the dial directly on the screen, it brings up a set of digital tools specific to the app that is open, allowing people to more seamlessly move through their workflow. Microsoft's example here is with Surface Dial, artists can change the color or size of their brush tip as they paint without ever moving the pen away from the screen. The combination of dial, pen, and touch creates a more immersive and tactile way for people to create in digital environments. Nah, I don't know. Surface Dial will cost you $100.
Well, if I'm already paying $4,000 for my laptop, then an additional $100 really isn't much.
Well, it's not even a laptop at this point. It's a desktop. It's a Surface Studio, man. It's for creative type, Sean. You wouldn't understand. All right. I don't know. Like I said, I can see this maybe happening in graphic designers and graphic design studios, this being a thing. Because it is it runs Windows 10, so it's a nice common platform. And the giant touchscreen would be kind of cool for graphic designers, I can imagine. But I don't know if it really brings anything to the table besides a giant screen that an iPad Pro doesn't. And all those people probably already have iPad Pros. So getting them to buy this is going to be a little rough. All right. Facebook. You got some splaining to do. So no one listening to this podcast, or truly anyone on the face of the planet more than likely, is a stranger to Facebook ads. And we all know that we have sold our souls to the Facebook satanic circle to allow them to get all our information to show us said ads and to tailor them to us, even though they do a piss poor job of doing it. Don't show me an ad for something I've already bought. It's useless. But damn it if they don't. I bet you if I go to Facebook, the first ad I'm going to see is something I already own. It's something I already own. That's awesome. They're telling me to play a video game that I've already downloaded for my iPad. I already have it. Go away. So Facebook has been sued over ads that were based on racial preferences. So that's not good. We don't want to be racist. What the problem is that Facebook gave advertisers tools that allowed them to say a certain racial group didn't need to see the ad. And
okay,
I mean, I can understand where that would come in handy, I guess, but it's also kind of racial profiling, so it's not cool. I don't know. I'm truly mixed on this.
I don't know, man. Like, that's really weird though, because like it's normally something you don't want, you know, like oh, I'm targeting my ads. Well, I don't want any ads, you know what I mean? Like, so why would people be arguing like, you know, oh, this is discriminatory, other people should be given more of these ads, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, see, the thing,
like,
is
arguing against a pop-up blocker.
Yeah, like Facebook makes it even more convoluted by saying that the tag itself that they're using, that they're having a problem with, is called ethnic affinity. And they're saying doesn't actually count as an actual identity trait, since it only judges people or only judges whether or not people tend to favor a certain race. So I don't know. I just don't know, because like you said, it's an ad. So obviously you don't want to target certain ethnic groups with certain ethnic ads, because, I mean, but then again, I don't know. It's such a weird problem because.
Right. And like, I don't know necessarily whether it's discriminatory or not. I don't know. It's really strange. And I'm going to try to use like a, you know, as least racist example as I can come up with. But, you know, like, let's just say you own a company that makes tortilla chips, you know, or tortillas, you know, like, you know what I mean? Like an ethnic food, you know,
yeah.
And you want to advertise, why would you, you know, if you have the option to specifically target only people of Latino descent, why would that be ethnic, you know, or some kind of discrimination because you're just targeting the people that you feel would be most interested in your product?
Yeah. And I think one of the biggest problems, I don't think it's the inclusive part of this is that people are complaining about. I think it's the exclusive part of it. I think it's the fact that if you do an ad for a new subdivision of homes that are starting in the 200,000s and you say that African Americans and Hispanics need to be excluded from this ad, that's a problem.
Right. And that's why I tried to use the least racist example I could come up with. And you used
the most racist example you could come up.
It was either that or I was going to say no problem.
Go ahead.
Damn it. Just go ahead.
I was going to say either that or you don't put out an ad. You exclude white people from an ad. Again, that is for bandanas, but yet you target it.
Bandanas?
At, yeah, but you target it at, you know, like I don't see on this list of things, I don't see cholo, but, you know.
See, and I was going to say that in my example, like it doesn't seem to me to sound racist or discriminatory to exclude you know, white people, or let's say Asians, you know, or any other ethnic group from your ad for tortillas. You know, you're just trying to target a specific group of people that might be interested in your product. I don't know if that's, it's, you know, at one end of the spectrum, it doesn't seem racist at all, but at your end of the spectrum, it can obviously very easily be racist.
Yeah. So. And see, I have to play devil's advocate because I mean, that's the thing. It could go both ways.
Right. And that's why it's such a gray issue, you know. And now that we're talking about ads, like I said, like I don't want ads at all. If you this allows the ads to be more precisely targeted, which would result in, you know, less garbage ads for certain individuals. I don't know why you would complain. Yeah, so I don't know. It's weird.
I'll read off a couple of these. These are markers, is what they call them, that Facebook allows advertisers to exclude. Obviously, race color is things like African American, Asian American, Hispanic, Hispanic bilingual, Hispanic English dominant, African American conservatives, African American hair, being Latino, being Indian, indigenous peoples, things like that. Under sex, we have working women, moms, big city moms, corporate moms, fit moms, green moms, moms of grade school kids, moms of high school kids, moms of preschool kids, new moms, soccer moms, stay-at-home moms. Familial status, family-based households, new parents, housemate-based households, civil union, divorce, domestic partnership, engaged, married, singled, widowed parents, expectant parents. Religion, it's got them all, man. Christianity, Catholicism, mainland Protestant, Jewish culture, Jews for Judaism, Islam, Sunni Islam, Shia Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism, and Shinto. I think it's Shinto. National origin is it's basically expats, every one of them, expats from damn near every country. So yeah. Like I said, I don't know. It's a very, very sticky situation. The lawsuit is said that they don't want to get rid of all of them. They don't want to get rid of the tools entirely because they have legitimate uses. And Facebook has said our ad policies strictly prohibit the kind of advertising this is going after. And that kind of advertising is against the law. So they're not going to do it, obviously.
Right.
You know, Christian Martinez, Facebook's head of multicultural wrote in one of the posts, it's important to know that there is also a negative exclusion. For example, an apartment building that won't rent to black people or an employer that only hires men. And then, like I said, he goes on to say that That's against their policy. It's illegal, and they're never going to allow that. These tools just exist for all the legal and allowable and with policy advertisements. So as long as you can trust Facebook to police the advertisements correctly, these tools existing is not a problem. However, yes, there is a dark and a light side to everything in the world, and people can be shitheads and use this, you know, as if Facebook isn't paying attention, they can use it for bad things. I don't know. I think Facebook has a lot riding on something like this, being that they're the ones who approve the ads. So I think I would trust them. I don't trust Facebook often. Hardly ever, really. But I think in this situation, they have enough of a stake in this that they would want to keep the policy, you know, keep everything going the way it needs to be and keep everything legal and with policy. Don't you?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I still don't like, I mean, I think, yeah, it's still just a weird, I don't even know what to say about it. It's still just a really weird, gray, ugly.
Uh-huh. Slippery slope.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was in the news, had to talk about it. I hate going that route. You know, I hate being too serious, but that's one of those things you kind of just have to talk about it. It needs to be out in the open. Don't be racist. All right, let's see here. The CNET, damn it, autoplay ad half the size of my screen. Jesus. Wasn't even for anything I was interested in. For bandanas. Okay, so let's see here. Sean, do you you vote, right? Or do you not?
Sure.
You do? Okay, good.
Yeah.
All right. So when you go and vote, after you vote, are you the kind of guy where you talk immediately about who you're voting for, why you voted for them, and that you voted for them? Or are you the kind of guy that says it's your business and you're not going to let anyone know who you voted for?
I mean, neither. I mean, I don't walk at a voting booth and proclaim my allegiance for any candidate. But I also don't refuse to talk about stuff. I mean, okay. If you want to talk about politics off the air, I mean, that's fine. We can do that. But, you know, I don't seek out that conversation.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, it's been a thing in the past, and it's becoming a thing again, thanks to several people, Justin Timberlake among them, that you take a picture of your ballot and you send it out to social media, letting people know who you voted for. And this is it's again a slippery slope, because that is actually illegal in several states.
Right.
A decent amount, to be honest. A surprising amount to me. It's illegal in 18 states to take a picture of your ballot. So you could be breaking the law if you do this. So the ACLU has sued California over the ban on the ballot box, what they call ballot box selfies. And it's, I don't know why. I don't understand why this is technically illegal. I mean, it's your ballot. It's not like you're taking a picture of someone else's ballot. But, you know, so Justin Timberlake, I was talking about him. He made headlines when he violated Tennessee law with his own ballot selfie, which I was more surprised the fact that Justin Timberlake voted in Tennessee.
Yeah, he's a registered resident of Tennessee.
I didn't know that. That was the most interesting part of that story at first. I was like, what? So, you know, do you think this is Is it something that we need to be able to do, basically? I mean, because the ACLU is saying that this is part of your First Amendment rights, which I agree this should be under your First Amendment rights. It's free speech and it's your ballot. But what do you think?
Yeah, I guess so. I really don't care. I mean, I understand there have to be laws governing, you know, the polling places. Like, that's why, you know, you're not allowed to campaign within a certain distance or whatever, you know. They need to be a neutral place where you can go. And so as long as I don't – but so as long as, though, you know, that kind of environment isn't violated, I don't see why it's a big deal or why, you know, any rules should be made governing it. And I don't necessarily see how taking a photograph of your ballot could be creating a, you know, hostile polling environment. However, you know, if they are making a big deal about it, you know, if you're leaving the polling booth and then, you know, like making a big deal about taking a picture of your ballot and proclaiming your allegiance for a candidate in the middle of the polling station, you know, yeah, that's obviously an issue, you know, shut the hell up, vote and get out. Like, you know, that's not, you know, you're not supposed to do that kind of stuff. But if you're just snapping a photograph of your ballot and tweeting it, I don't see how that's a big deal, but. Obviously, people are going to argue over it.
Oh, because, you know, and I believe it's like a 12-year-old law, or I read that somewhere. Here's an article in Time. Here's where you're allowed to take a selfie with while voting. So let's see here. Punishment for the illegal ones, punishment varies by state, but could include a fine or jail time. In Tennessee, for example, violating the law could result in a 30-day jail sentence or a fine up to $50 or both. Let's see here. So is it legal to take a ballot selfie? That's a very well put together map, Time. I like this. Okay. Not allowed. You cannot do this in. Boop. I like this map. It works really, really good. Let's see here. Wisconsin, South Dakota, New York, Georgia, North Carolina, Kansas, Alabama, Michigan, Florida, Illinois. Wow, Illinois. South Carolina, New Jersey. Or not New Jersey. Yeah, Colorado. Let's see. Nevada, Arkansas. I'm using the map, so I might be going out of order. Maryland. Did I get them all? I think I got them all. Oh, no. Mississippi. Yep, missed that one. Okay, let me switch this over to list. All right. Let's see here. It is allowed in Montana, Wyoming. Everything's allowed in Montana and Wyoming, I believe, unless you're a Quaker. That might have been racist.
What?
Nothing.
Quakers? What?
No.
Just move on.
Okay. Yep. Drop it. Move on. Montana, Wyoming, New Hampshire, Rhode Island, in Idaho, Minnesota, Virginia, Kentucky, Hawaii, Indiana, Utah, Nebraska. This says DC. I'm going to assume that's District of Columbia. Oregon. Connecticut, Michigan, no, not Michigan, Maine, sorry. I'm having to go through my abbreviations on all these states again because I haven't done that since high school. Louisiana, North Dakota, Vermont, and Washington. North Dakota wasn't, okay, South, that's interesting. North Dakota, it's allowed. South Dakota, it is not. Huh. You kind of always assume the North and South versions of states just stick together.
Oh, yeah, 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 because the North and South always have a history of working well together.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Not fighting at all.
No, not at all. We get along so well. This is also state laws. This is a section where state laws are unclear or the answer is mixed, which is strange that that would be a thing. Ohio, Arkansas, Iowa. Let's see here, Pennsylvania, West Virginia, California, Missouri is in there. That's interesting. That's where we are. Arizona, Oklahoma, Delaware, Texas, Tennessee. And Sean, do you know what MD is?
Maryland.
Good job.
I know all the state abbreviations.
Do you?
I work with them on, like, it's part of my job.
You do that. You know? See, I know the ones where my business does business, but that's, the rest of them are, I know most of them. I really do. But there are a few that always have, like, from high school days, have thrown me. So, you know, it's the ones that just don't make that much sense. So, yeah. Before you whip out your Snapchat camera and take a picture of your ballot, you might want to go over to the link in the show notes and figure out if you're going to be thrown in jail for doing so. Don't do that. Don't go to jail. I hear they do things to you in prison. Sean would know. All right.
And now time for movie news.
Not going to do it.
And now time for movie news.
I always wait to see if you're going to do it, just because it's fun. All right, so Deadpool. We talked about the director, Tim Miller, dropping out of the sequel of Deadpool, and I believe it was the last episode, actually. And
yeah, I think so.
So in a statement posted to Twitter, Tom Hulkenborg, a.k.a. Junkie XL, said making the music for the first Deadpool was a monumental chapter in his life, both personally and professionally. After Miller dropped out of the sequel, Hulkenborg said he did some soul searching, which led him to discover that a Deadpool movie without Miller directing it just doesn't sit right with him. So Deadpool 2 has now lost its composer as well as its director. I don't know how much of a problem that is.
Right, it's the composer.
It's the composer, and most of the music in Deadpool that you remember were actual songs written by other people. It was soundtrack music,
right.
not the composition.
Now, right.
Music composition does have a lot to do with the movie and the way you feel while you're watching the movie. So it is a big part of the movie, but I don't know how big of a part it would be in a movie that has an actual soundtrack. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree.
It's one of those things where we've said that the next Deadpool movie will pretty much be either amazing or completely crappy. There's not going to be a middle ground.
It just worries me that this is just the beginning and that more and more, you know, people are, you know, obviously, you know, this guy does not like the fact that Miller dropped out. So I'm afraid that more people are going to follow suit, you know, like what occurred. Like, because when we originally talked about this, they had made it sound like it was at least somewhat amicable, you know, and that it wasn't a contentious thing necessarily. But now it makes it sound like it may not be that way.
Yeah, and you know, I think the main thing that I see as a saving grace is, if I remember correctly, Ryan Reynolds is one of the big producers of the original right. Deadpool movie. And because of that, as long as he stays as a producer, he will still be one of the driving creative forces behind the movie. And I think Ryan Reynolds has so much devoted to the Deadpool character and Wade Wilson that as long as he's at a good portion of what's at the wheel, I think we'll still get a good character out of it. You know, as long as he has a big part of the say in what goes on in the film itself.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think the movie is his baby, so
exactly.
You know, he brought it to life, and I think as long as he's still involved, it should be okay. That's what my hope is.
Yeah, mine too. Okay, Rami Malek. I'm pretty sure I say his name correctly, but I could be completely wrong, but that's how I always say it.
Yeah, no, I think so. Rami Malek. Yeah.
I love that dude. He's awesome. He's on Mr. Robot. What else is... has he had any other really big breakthroughs? He had one, didn't he?
Right before he was in the Robot. Night at the Museum movies.
That's right.
He played like the Pharaoh in the Night at the Museum movies.
Yeah. By the way, I saw him in a interview recently. He is kind of an odd duck.
Yeah.
He just doesn't seem comfortable with like anything. It's strange. But it was also him and Christian Slater, and Christian Slater's like a completely polar opposite to him. So, but he is going to be he's signed on to play Freddie Mercury in the quote unquote long gestating Queen movie Bohemian Rhapsody, which will be directed by Bryan Singer.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. So 20th Century Fox and New Regency will co-finance the project. It sounds really cool, to be honest. I like Queen, and Freddie Mercury was an amazing performer and songwriter, especially. And I think Malek looks the part, to be honest. You know, he's kind of got the long face. You know, he's got the big doe eyes. I don't know about I don't know if the teeth. You know, Mercury had some chompers on him.
He's going to have to grow a little porn star mustache.
Yes, he will. So, yeah, I'm interested. Color me intrigued. That's really all there is about that. I'm just saying. I was interested to see Rami Malek in something else, really, is what it was. I don't care what it is. I want to see him in other things because he's a good actor.
Mr. Robot's awesome.
I freaking love that show. Although I'm like half a season behind. I got caught up in other things. Okay. So now the last thing, and this is kind of a little bit of a takeaway from what we've been doing.
LOL.
With this one. Was that? I tried not to go pornographic this time. There were stories. There were ones that could be pornographic, and I chose not to. This is a SNL skit from, and I can't play it because SNL is bad about blacklighting things that are copyright infringement. But you can go into the show notes and watch the video. It's a reimagining of Apple's 1984 ad where the lady, you know, you've got the dictator on the screen talking to the people, and the lady runs up and throws a hammer through the screen and shatters it, and it's, you know, hey, don't be the same as everyone else, think different, that kind of thing. And it's Benedict Cumberbatch talking about the dictator is saying that everyone needs to sit on the toilet the same way. And, you know, all these people are sitting correctly on the toilet, and, you know, they all have like the bare essential toilets. And he's saying that you need to be subservient and yeah, all this stuff. And then Benedict Cumberbatch walks up with a hammer, dressed in a suit, sunglasses, looking super cool, super dapper, throws the hammer. Gets ready to pick up, or looks like he's going to throw the hammer, and instead he hits a box that's next to him that has Kohler written across it, and it opens up to a black toilet that looks a little different. It has like footstools behind it, and he proceeds to unzip, drop trowel, sits on the toilet backwards, facing the tank, like someone who's super cool. They take the chair and face backwards, right. And that's how he sits there. He with his arms on the tank, all cool and sly, and, you know, does his business. And then he gets up, zips, buckles. And then what's weird, the weirdest movement, he licks his fingers and then touches the side of the toilet and it flushes. But it's basically saying that this is the toilet for people who are the cool people who sit on chairs backwards. But you need to watch, go to the link in the show notes and watch the segment, because it was pretty damn funny. I love it.
And it comes in black.
It is. It's a black ass toilet, man. It's just got that little blue, if you look at the picture, that line.
You can see him like, you know, he's touching his fingers to the toilet.
It's a blue light. It like lights up when it flushes. And obviously, this is not it's a regular toilet if you look at it, but the base is what they've added onto it. It's the base that has the little footstools for your feet. And obviously, this is not a real thing, but it's cool anyway. And they call it since it's from Kohler, K-H-O-L-E-R. It is the cool toilet, K-H-O-O-L. Yeah. I thought it was pretty funny. And not necessarily like something that blew my mind when I saw it, because, you know, that's what we've been doing for this section. But funny nonetheless. And I think that's what the section is going to turn into. It's just something that's hilarious.
Mean, it's the LOL of the LOL OMG WTF.
Good job, Sean. I'm glad you noticed that. That makes me feel special.
You should never feel special.
Oh, okay. Fine.
You are not special.
I'm not a unique and special snowflake. Gotcha. So this episode is going to be coming out on the 7th. See here. One day before Election Day. Go out and vote. I don't care who you vote for. I don't. I know who I'm voting for. I'm sure Sean knows who he's voting for. Doesn't matter. Go out and vote. Let's see here. So we're going to be covering movies from the 7th up until the 18th. Let me pull up my stuff. Okay. Wow. All right.
Next, flicks.
Let's do it. Okay. Arrive. These are, by the way, I'm sorry. These are for November 4th. No, 11th. Sorry. November 11th, which is Friday. First one, Arrival. It is Amy Adams, Jeremy Renner, Forest Whitaker, Michael Stahlberg, Mark O'Brien. Let's see here. When the mysterious spacecraft touched down across the globe, an elite team led by expert linguist Louis Louise Banks is brought together to investigate. As mankind teeters on the verge of global war, Banks and the team race against time for answers. And to find them, she will take a chance that could threaten her life and quite possibly humanity.
Wasn't a bad... I actually saw a preview for this last night when we rented some movies. So it looks okay. That's why I didn't next it, but... I was waiting to see if the description was going to be, you know, insanely long or something like that. They did an all right job, I guess. I think the description was a little vague, and I think the movie seemed a little like it needed more action, maybe.
Gotcha.
But it looked okay.
Okay. All right. Almost Christmas. Gabrielle Union, Nicole Ari Parker, Danny Glover, Omar Epps, Kimberly Elise, Romney Malco.
Next. I would need to listen to this one. It's just some garbage Christmas comedy.
Yeah.
See you later.
Basically, it is. It's the same as every Christmas comedy. Let's see here. Okay. All Eyes with a Z on Me. Demetrius Shipp Jr., Danai Gurira.
That's the chick who plays Michonne on The Walking Dead.
Really?
Yep.
Nice. That's a hard last name to say. Is that Gurira? Am I saying that right?
Yeah, Danai Gurira.
Gurira. Ooh, I can't roll R, so that's a problem. Jamal Woolard, Patrick Fawcett. Dude's name is Fawcett. Grace Gibson and Keith Robinson. The Life and Legacy of Tupac Shakur.
I was wondering if this was going to be a Tupac movie called All Eyes on Me. I was like, when you said the title, I was like, that was my initial reaction, was like the Tupac album?
Yeah, and I didn't know how far I'd get into it after I said that.
Oh, no, I'm a huge Tupac fan.
Okay.
Yeah.
Including his rise to superstardom as a hip-hop artist and actor, as well as his imprisonment and prolific controversial time at Death Row Records, where he was steeped in the East Coast, West Coast rap war. It's a Tupac movie.
Yeah.
I don't know where it starts and where it ends. You would assume that it's a full life story, but
right.
They don't specifically say, so I don't know.
Yeah, no, I'm a Tupac fan. I own that album, so. Oh,
okay. All right. Let's see here. Loving, Joel Edgerton, Ruth Negga, Michael Shannon, Nick Kroll, and Bill Camp. Follows an interracial married couple jailed for their union in 1958, Virginia.
Next.
Don't put a date on it or Sean's going to next your ass. Okay.
Nick Kroll, like he's from The League. Like he's usually a really funny guy, but that didn't sound like a very funny movie.
No, not at all. All right, Shut In. Naomi Watts, Tim Post, David Cubitt, Oliver Platt, and Jacob Tremblay. A heart-pounding thriller starring Naomi Watts as a widowed child psychologist who lives an isolated existence in rural New England. Caught in a deadly winter storm, she must find a way to rescue a young boy before he disappears forever. That is vague as shit.
That is vague as shit. I was like, wait, it's over? What?
The hell?
Oh, come on. You deserve a next just for an asinine description. I have no idea what that movie's about.
Yeah. Jeez. All right, whatevs. Billy Lynn's Long Halftime Walk.
What?
Kristen Stewart, Garrett Hedlund, Joel Elwyn, Vin Diesel, Chris Tucker, and Boo Knapp. Bow Knapp.
Wow, that's an interesting cast.
A little, yeah. Very eclectic.
What is this? Go on.
The film is told from the point of view of 19-year-old Private Billy Lynn, who, along with his fellow soldiers in Bravo Squad, becomes a hero after a harrowing Iraq battle and is brought home temporarily for a victory tour. Through flashbacks culminating at the spectacular halftime show of the Thanksgiving Day football game, the film reveals what really happened to the squad, contrasting the realities of the war with America's perceptions. Might be interesting.
I know.
I don't know. The cast makes me interested, really.
Yeah, the cast makes me interested, but I'm not sure it's something I'd be in. I'd be into.
Okay. This one I got to do just because I got to do it. USS Indianapolis, Men of Courage. Ready?
Cast, go ahead.
Nicolas Cage.
Oh, God.
Tom Sizemore, Thomas Jane, Matt Lautner, and Brian Presley. Throughout World War II, the USS...
Next.
It's a good thing, too, because it's four paragraphs long. I just had to do it because it's Nicolas Cage. Nick Cage, man. Nick freaking Cage. Okay. I hope I say this right. Ellie. Isabel Huppert. Laurent Lafitte, I'm going to assume. Charles Berling. Virginia Efira. Let's see here. The story centers on Michelle, a ruthless head of a video game company. After being attacked in her home by an unknown assailant, changes Michelle's life forever. When she resolutely tracks the man down, they're both drawn to a curious and thrilling game that may, at any moment, spiral out of control. Vague.
Yeah, but that sounds interesting.
Okay. See here. Let me. Okay. Next day, we were going to the 18th, and look at that. It's the 18th. Okay. So these are for November 18th. Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
Next. I know what this is, and I mean, I might watch it when it comes out on video or something, but I don't care.
Okay.
I mean, it doesn't... I'm not a big enough fan. I watched all the Harry Potter movies and everything, but I'm not a big enough fan to be super excited by like a movie that takes place in the extended universe. You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
And doesn't directly involve characters from the Harry Potter series. So I don't really care that much.
Okay. Let's see here. The Edge of 17. Haley Steinfeld, Kara Sedgwick, Woody Harrelson, Blake Jenner, and Katie Stewart. A look at what it's like to grow up as a young woman in today's modern world.
next.
That was the worst first sentence they could have ever put in.
Why would I be interested in this movie at all?
You've never been a 17-year-old girl, Sean?
I have not. I don't think there's anything I could relate to in this movie.
Okay. Bleed for This. Katie Sagal, Miles Teller, Aaron Eckhart, Amanda Clayton, and Tom DiNucci. Hope I said that right, Tom. As if he's listening. Miles Teller stars as Vinny, the Pasmanian devil. Pazniza, I hope. A local Providence boxer who shot to stardom after winning two world title fights. After a near-fatal car accident leaves Vinny with a severed spine, doctors tell him he may never walk again. With the help of renowned trainer Kevin Rooney... did you say something?
Nope.
Oh, okay. Vinny becomes a legend when he is, not only walks again, but miraculously returns to the ring to reclaim his title belt only a year after his accident.
What? What? Is this a true story, does it say?
Yeah, biography.
All right. Well, next. It just sounds fantastic. Like you're going to you box after you severed your spine?
I think that's the whole point, is that it's like incredible that he did that.
What? Yeah. Okay.
Okay, let's see. The next one is The Take. Idris Elba, Richard Madden, Jose Garcia, Kelly Riley. Michael Mason is an American pickpocket living in Paris who finds himself hunted by the CIA when he steals a bag that contains more than just a wallet. Sean Breyer, who is Idris Elba, the field agent on the case, soon realizes that Michael is just a pawn in a much bigger game and is also his best asset to uncover a large-scale conspiracy. Going against commands, Breyer...
Next. Next.
It could have ended there.
That's where they should have stopped it.
Yeah, it could have ended
there. That's where they should have stopped it.
Okay, let's see here. All right. Life on the Line. Let's see here. John Travolta, Kate Bosworth, Devon Sawa, Julie Benz, Gil Bello, and Ryan Robbins. Focuses on Beau, John Travolta, his beloved niece Bailey, Kate Bosworth, and the hardworking men who risk their lives to work on the line and keep the electric grid running. These unsung heroes brave raging...
Next.
Yeah, I don't know. Not something I would go see, but...
No, not at all.
Let's see here. That looks like it. Huh. Yeah, that's all of them, pretty much.
So, there's a few decent ones in there. A few things that sounded interesting.
Yeah. Coming into the end of the year, the movies tend to get a little slim. So
until you get to the very end of the year, and then they cram stuff in for that year's Oscars or whatever, don't they?
Exactly. All right, Sean, what the hell are you up to?
Oh, well, we rented some movies last night, as I mentioned earlier, and I caught the new Star Trek film, Star Trek Beyond. You said you saw this.
We talked
about it a little bit before we started recording. I mean, it wasn't bad, but I think it might have been like my least favorite of the three new ones.
Your least favorite? Well,
yeah.
Why do you say that?
I don't know. I just felt like there was – I don't know. The first one was just – the first one was brand new, and it was like, okay, I get to see the interesting way that they've rebooted the series and recreated the universe but slightly different. And then the second one was a really cool retelling of the whole Khan storyline, you know, with a lot of nods to the classic Star Trek and things like that and tweaking the story a little bit where Kirk dies instead of Spock, and, you know, whatever. And then this – like there was very little nod to the original in any way other than like the photograph that they show of the original crew, because they do nod to Leonard Nimoy and his death in general, because they obviously they need to kill that version of Spock off in this extended universe. And so that's the only nod to the original that there really was. And I mean, it was an okay story. I felt that the movie was a little longer than it needed to be. But it wasn't bad. It wasn't bad. I think it's my, if I had to rank the three, I think it would be number three.
Okay. I liked it quite a bit. I almost agree with you on it being the third best, because, and in my opinion, it's because the first one, obviously, it was the first one. It was freaking amazing because it was the first one. So it just
right.
kind of catches you there. The second one, yeah, I like Benedict Cumberbatch a lot. Eggs Benedict Cumberbun is one of my favorite actors. So, you know, that's one of the reasons he played Khan very well. I liked it because of that. This one, it was a... I like Idris Elba, but he's in such heavy makeup the whole time. You don't really know that it's him. So, couldn't go off of that. And there were certain things
that were a little
confusing.
I had no idea that it was him.
Yeah, at first I didn't either.
Until they showed the picture of him with no makeup on at all, like in his Starfleet uniform, I had no idea that that was Idris Elba.
I didn't notice it until once I heard him talk, I'm like, I know that voice. So then I went to IMDb, looked it up, and I was like, oh, it's Idris Elba. But yeah, there's no way to know that until, you know, they reveal it in the movie, because he changes his voice quite a bit. You know, it's all stilted, and he doesn't hardly speak English, and it's interesting. I did like the camaraderie between showing more of the camaraderie between Bones and Spock. That was nice.
Got Spock to say horse shit.
They did say horse shit. It was awesome. But that was always the relationship between Bones and Spock. And that was one of the best relationships, I thought, in the original series and in the movies, was between Bones and Spock. These two people who respect each other to the ends of the earth,
but don't necessarily get along.
They don't really get along, but they do respect each other. And the fact that they enjoy not getting along is one of the best parts. So and we get to see a lot more of Scotty, which is cool too.
Yeah. Well, I'm pretty sure that he was one of the writers of the movie. Yeah.
So I loved it a lot. What else you got?
Well, in addition to that, I also rented Central Intelligence, starring Kevin Hart and Dwayne "The Rock" Johnson. I gotta have a comedy, you know?
Yeah.
And this movie was funny. Like, I thought it was
hilarious.
I loved it. I loved every minute of it. I thought I laughed the whole time. I mean, it was silly and stupid. And I thought The Rock, he was so, like, his character, he was just so upbeat and positive the entire time. It was just like over the top silly. It was hilarious. I thought it was great. Yeah. So I hope they do like a sequel or other buddy movies together or whatever. So,
well, they're in Jumanji together.
Yeah, I did see that.
So that's going to be cool.
But yeah, I thought this was great. I liken like those two as like Chris Tucker and Jackie Chan, you know, yeah, like they could do multiple things together. I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah, I watched it, and yeah, man, it was so funny. You know, the seeing The Rock not only as such an upbeat person, but also technically in his mind playing second fiddle to Kevin Hart.
Yeah,
you know, because no one was good as what I forget what Kevin Hart's nickname and that was Golden something.
Golden Jet.
Yeah, Golden Jet. No one was as good as the Golden Jet, man.
Yeah, and that's what's so funny too, because The Rock is just—I mean, he's gigantic. Yeah, he's a monster, and Kevin Hart is a tiny, tiny little man, and they play off that size difference a lot. You know, like there's at least one scene where The Rock is cradling him like a baby, and it's just hilarious.
Yeah. So yeah, if you haven't seen that, check it out. Both those movies are well worth a rent. Definitely.
So what have you been up to?
Well, they just re-released Skyrim as the Skyrim Special Edition, where it's a little bit of graphics updates, some bug fixes, and if you buy the Special Edition, you get all of the DLC from the original Skyrim. I had Skyrim and all the DLC on Steam, and if you had that, you get the Special Edition for free. So I got the Special Edition. I've been playing that. I was on vacation from my regular job about a week or so ago, and because of that, I logged like 16 hours of Skyrim play, and it is just as good as I remember it. It is amazing, and the new graphics are beautiful. I play on a widescreen LG monitor on my gaming machine, and it just is breathtaking. It's awesome. So yeah, if you haven't played Skyrim for a while, and on Steam you bought all the DLC anyway, you should probably go and download your Special Edition and try it out. If you haven't, you can just buy the Special Edition. I think it's like $40, and you'll get all the DLC and everything included. So if you never played Skyrim, where the hell have you been? If you played it and liked it, it's about time for another playthrough. Other thing I've been doing, I talked about Westworld. I have been watching Westworld. I hadn't decided whether I was going to watch it or not. And one day I was sitting in my office, had the little bit of time that wasn't taken up by some kind of work, which never happens. And I was able to pick a show that I could start watching that I hadn't already watched. And I'm like, oh, which one is it going to be? It was between Westworld and Dirk Gently. And I did watch Dirk Gently later, but that evening I started Westworld, and I was already a couple of episodes behind. And once I watched the first one, I had to keep going. I had to watch. I think there were three episodes total that I had to watch just back to back to back. And I had to put things off and ended up screwing myself on some timelines, but worth it. You're watching Westworld, aren't you?
Yeah, we're watching it. Yeah, I've heard that the season finale is supposed to be, you know, fantastic. So, I don't know how many episodes they're going to do, but being like the first run of an HBO season, I wouldn't be surprised if it were only like 8. You know, but it's supposed to be really, really good. And so far, the whole show's been interesting. I it's one of those shows, kind of like Lost, where I think I just had to resign myself to the fact that I'm not going to understand what's going on until they just tell me what the hell is going on, and to stop sitting there like hoping they answer my questions.
I agree, because there were a couple times when episodes would end, and they would end pretty much every episode has ended with me asking more questions than I had questions in the beginning. But I think that's good because it keeps you going, you know? You end an episode at like 2 in the morning, you're like, I don't need sleep, I need answers. Next.
Right.
So, okay. Well, that's all we got for you for this episode. Sean, where can people find, follow, and or stalk you?
Well, as always, you can find, follow, and stalk me at 8daysofgeek.com, and you can find me on Twitter at Sean ML Scott.
Okay. Hey, you need a Snapchat, don't you?
No, I don't.
I think you need a Snapchat.
Nope.
Why don't you have a Snapchat, Sean?
Because I don't need to participate in any other forms of social media.
None whatsoever?
Nope.
I don't believe you.
I really don't need any more friends than I already have.
That's sad, Sean. I feel for you. All right. That's an ongoing thing. Anytime I ask Sean to join a new social network for one reason or another, he puts up such a fight. You hate social everything, don't you?
I wouldn't even have the damn Twitter account if it wasn't for you. So see,
that exactly. All right. For me, you can find, follow, and stalk me. My Twitter handle is at Pin of Doom. You can find out everything else about me, about.me/Jesse Miller, and that will be everything about me. I need to go there and make sure everything's right. I haven't gone there for a couple months. I should probably check on that.
I've changed all the information.
Yeah, it's possible. This is just a bag of dongles.
Yep.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode. Sean, say something Tupac.
Say something Tupac. Oh, man. I wonder if heaven's got a ghetto.
Church. Church.
What? Church?
Yeah, isn't that something people say when they're like down with what you say? They say church?
I don't think so. I've never heard that, but then again, I don't know why I would know. So
maybe there's a wrong ethnicity. Now for a little tidbit for people who stuck around past the music.
See, I know, we're doing this again.
You can't do it every time, because if you do it every time, everyone will always stick around. I want to catch the people who actually care enough to stick around. It's topical. So, Urban Dictionary, church.
Okay.
Strongly agree, as if it were law. Usage.
Okay.
Usage is player one. Look at the junk in her trunk. I'd tap that ass. Player two. Church. I used it right.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, guys. See ya.